his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. We welcome you to WCNO Wednesday Live. Wednesday Live coming to you right here from our studios in beautiful Palm City, Florida.
Yes, and it is beautiful out there.
It's a little cloudy out today. We'll say it's still beautiful, though, right?
Well, we have trees in bloom out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
trees in bloom, people in bloom. And it's always a miracle that we all arrive at the same station at the same time. And, you know, Karen Hubbard
Some
is here. The well-known host of a new program that is on every week on Friday mornings at 11 o'clock. And it's called Hidden
Places.
Hidden Places. Mm. And you've had some awesome guests. You had a great program this last week. And some people are calling. These are call-in programs. Karen, yours as well as David. How are things going with your program, Karen?
They're going wonderful. And I hope to get feedback from our listeners. You know, if you're enjoying it and my program or even Dave's or Wednesday Live, just you know, send us a little text, let us know. Or,
did you hear that, David? I would love to have feedback if you're enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it,
well, you know, we still
then get
like
give
to
David
hear.
The feedback.
Yeah, right.
No, you know, if there's something you're not enjoying, then pray for us and tell us. Tell us, you know, if you hear something or there's something we can do better. Obviously, we
And for me, you know, the Lord has, you know, He keeps lining people up for me.
That's awesome.
You know, I'm not having to look for them. He just drops their name in my spirit, so I call them and ask them if they'd like to be on. Yes. So if you know of anyone, especially in my program, that, you know, people that are just out there doing stuff, that
they're serving God, maybe in an unknown way.
Yes, right. They're in a hidden place that, you know, nobody sees them. They know what they do, but the Lord really wants His people to shine. He's trying to, you know, extract what He has put into us so that the world can see. And so if you know anyone that has a great story or they have something that they're doing that would really touch the hearts of others, then just give me a call here at the station. Let me know.
Or you can also send in to WCNO at WCNO.com. Send an email, say "Attention Karen," and send it in, and we will definitely get that to her. And David, your program is off to a great start as well.
Yeah,
and it is called Frontline.
The Frontline.
The Frontline. And you've been having some great guests in this week. Yeah. You had Donna Truitt and Phyllis
Waters Brown.
Waters Brown,
And they're at the Kane Center here in Stewart, which is run by the Martin County Elder Council on Aging, rather. And so it's for folks my age. I'm supposed to be elderly now.
You're not.
But they have a lot of services, and we're really honing in on the dementia side of things and caregivers and all of the things that they offer.
Well, with the program this week.
This week. Mm-hmm. But the front line, I mean, in a way, there's a dovetail with what Karen is doing in that we want to bring people on that no one except for their immediate family and those in their that are affected
may
by
not
the
have
ministry,
a voice.
Don't have a
may
voice. They don't
voice.
Know them.
Yeah.
But it's to share, lift them up, let them share their story, what God is doing through them. But it's also to inspire the listener to say, maybe, gosh, maybe God has a frontline ministry
yeah.
for me.
Do something.
Do something.
Do something. So
yeah.
These are new programs, very important. And, of course, if you're looking to get some information, maybe you know someone you just think, boy, that you know they have a really great story and no one really knows about them, or they have a great story and everyone knows about them, but there's more to know, you know, send an email to us. So you can send that to attention, David Francoeur. Again, send that to WCNO at WCNO.com. And that'll be a blessing. We do have Ma and Paul in the studio, so we may as well just let them share what's on their heart. I think it's very relevant, you know, because I've heard a little talk about revival, and we are seeking God, believing God, and we are not just actors acting like you are in revival, yeah. but we are experiencing a move of God. And I'm hopeful to see Pastor Daryl Orman with us in a little bit, and we may just talk a little bit about that film Jesus Revolution, because that has just been one of those things that has been timely now that has come out that has again shaken, I believe, some of the dust off of our faith in our nation. Some people have been revved again. I don't know if that's a good word, but I just believe they're you know, pull up again at the front line of traffic, speaking to front line, and there's a motorcycle next to me going, burn, burn, burn. And once in a while, the Holy Spirit just sort of shakes off some of the dust and revs his church up, takes us to a new place, to a new level, and I see, I sense some of that is happening. So if you hear something, burn, burn, you know, check, make sure the officer is not next door on the other side of you, you know, that can be embarrassing. Well, welcome, Ma and Paul. Glad to have you in the studio. A couple days ago during the men's Bible study, Paul attends. Their exposure to the Acts of the Apostles brought a revelation to the group. It was Paul who noted that the state of the nation of Israel in the early days of the church looked remarkably like today's culture. Bringing this up, he led the group in a passionate discussion of what had been revealed. Since then, Paul's not been able to turn his mind away from that revelation. As he often does, he now comes to Ma for her help in putting together all the puzzle pieces into a coherent whole.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure do. Just come sit beside me here on the porch. I'm finishing up putting a patch on a pair of your overalls.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me see. Whoa, that's not right.
What do you mean? It's a patch, and it's covering another hole you put in a decent pair of overalls. I tell you, how you treat your clothing is a true shame.
Well, I work hard. Sometimes I get so tired I don't notice things, like this hole, for instance. I backed into a nail sticking out of a wall in the barn, where it poked right through the cloth and into my behind.
Well, that must have been a mighty big nail. Look here, it's about 3 inches wide.
Listen, Ma. If you back into a nail and it impales your backside, you try to stand still. I jumped up at least 3 feet in there.
Well, I guess I should be glad the hole ain't any bigger than that.
Now tell me, why on earth are you putting a pink patch on my blue overalls? You know I can't wear them out in public like that.
Right now, that's the only cloth I have thick enough to patch these overalls. I can't control the color. Besides, you have other overalls you can wear when you go downtown.
Ma, listen to me. Once I put on a pair of overalls in the morning, I plan on wearing them for the whole day. This has always been my plan. I'm not going to change clothes just to go down to the feed store or the market. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, says the man who spends an hour washing dust off his tractor every time he comes in from the field.
Ain't you ever heard of preventative maintenance?
Well, I guess it's all a matter of priorities, Pa. By the way, speaking of priorities, why'd you want to talk this morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember we had our men's Bible study on Monday morning. Well, we've been getting deep into the Acts of the Apostles, and old Howard Burl Splatter has been reading to us from this book on the first century church. Well, that book gives a pretty good understanding of the state of the world the church was born into. And I got to tell you, it looks a whole lot like our world today.
Howard Burl Splatter? Ain't he the feller who had to retire early because he lost an eye?
Yeah, poor old Howard. He was helping his wife with spring cleaning. He got some dust in his right eye. Well, he went to remove the dust, but he forgot he was holding the vacuum cleaner hose in his hand. Oh, that eye got sucked right out, I'm telling you. Anyway, you know, back in the first century, Israel was under the thumb of the Romans, and the Roman world was full of pagans. On top of that, the Jews and now the Christians got persecuted because they wouldn't bow to the pagan gods.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was in high school, we were attending Mighty God Church of Immutable Prophecy and Spiritual Ascension in Flatley Junction. Old Pastor Quinkelbaum had a sermon along those lines. It was an eye-opener. And, I mean, no disrespect to Earl Howard.
So, us men got to talking and making the comparison with those early days of the church and today. Here, we live in a culture what's been overtaken by all that political correctness, with all them folks trying to have faith in things that ain't God, living in a horrible confusion about life and biology and all of that because they don't have Jesus Christ in their lives.
I see where you fellers were going in your Bible study. You realize that life today is just like it was for Jesus when he walked the earth and when his disciples had to get the church going right in the middle of chaotic pagan world.
Exactly. So then old Johnson Balduck stood up, gave a big hallelujah, and said, "Gentlemen, it looks like we're in for a big movement of the Holy Spirit, just like it was for them first disciples on the day of Pentecost."
Old Johnson's still the zealot, ain't he, Paul?
Oh, yes, he is. Why, if witnessing was an Olympic event, old Johnson would bring home the gold every time. And he got all of us to tell you. On that day of Pentecost, considering all the challenges that faced the new church, them disciples, in the power of the Spirit, had nothing but joy in their hearts and a powerful passion for the gospel.
And they weren't afraid of nothing, were they? I mean, just minutes before the Holy Spirit came on them, they were cowering in that upper room, exhausted from running and hiding from their enemies. Then the Spirit comes on them, and boom, they can't wait to get out on the streets and share the gospel.
And that's what we concluded at the end of our Bible study, Ma. In fact, old Arnold Zitnicker may have said it best just before we came to the closing prayer at the Bible study. "I believe it's time for a reset for the church. The environment for revival has been prepared, the ground has been planted, and now is the harvest time."
Wow, you said that? When you said that, my spirit just took a leap in the air. And you know what? Some of the local churches actually celebrate the day of Pentecost in their church calendars. That's this coming Sunday, in fact. Wouldn't it be awesome if God had marked that day to do a huge outpouring of His Spirit on us, like on that first day of Pentecost?
Oh, indeed it would. In fact, all the fellers in the Bible study thought it would be a good thing at church this Sunday to make a note of what God gave us on Monday. I spoke to Pastor Irv Neller, and he agreed. We're going to do it, oh, like a benediction at the end of the service.
Well, glory be. I can't wait, Pa.
Me neither. Oh, and we got old Briley Gersmacher down at the screen printer to make us a bunch of T-shirts. Red ones, with a Holy Spirit dove on the front. Old Jonathan Bilduck has one of them vacuum-operated T-shirt cannons. He's going to shoot them T-shirts out into the congregation after the closing prayer. Johnson wanted old Howard to do the honors, since it was his reading of that church history book what got us opened up to what God's doing in His church today. But old Howard's still a mite twitchy about anything what runs on a vacuum, you know, because of his eye.
Are you as excited as Ma and Paul is? God is on the move, revival breaking out all over our nation. And like it was in the first few centuries, the body of Christ is surrounded by unbelievers who do not worship the living God. When we look on our nation and the whole world, really, do we see those fields white for the harvest? Do we ache for the lost, hope for their salvation, and hunger to bring them to Christ Jesus? Do we need any more evidence that our loving Father has prepared the earth for a revival that will save a billion or more souls? God is releasing His Spirit for such a time as this. Don't hide behind the walls of your churches. Be willing to receive His Spirit to boldly enter the streets where you live with His life-changing word. Well, that is Ma and Pa, who are with us this morning, and we're so glad that they joined us. And we have a special, special guest that's going to be with us. And as far as I can tell, the pastor did not come from the barn this morning or the farm, but we do have Pastor Daryl Orman with us, and we're going to be with him in just a moment. That is, if we can make things happen here. All right. Pastor Daryl, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Good to be with you.
Tell us what's going on over at First Baptist in Stewart.
Well, We had the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief come and have a statewide training for chainsaw work, and they cleared.
Tell us about the disaster relief. That is really a big ministry of the Southern Baptist.
It really is. In fact, if you Google disaster relief in the United States, Southern Baptist, we come up second behind Red Cross.
I see trailers traveling across the state or wherever. I see all these trailers at different churches, and
we've got 42 state conventions, and all of them have these food preparation trailers. And so, like with Francis and Jean years ago, here the street that intersects our property was closed off, and we had the Missouri food preparation trailer there for a while, and then the Texas preparation trailer there. And they pumped out about just short of 200,000 meals.
Wow.
In that month or so.
That's amazing. Now what is the chainsaw?
Well, the chainsaw
training event.
I love it. I found it exciting.
You got involved?
Yeah.
I could expect you to. Okay.
Yeah, I love cutting things with chainsaws.
That's a man's sport.
In fact,
you can get involved. But
I came to the church in 92 about a month before Andrew, and that's when I assumed my pastorate here. And so I took our first people down to help after Andrew, and that got us into disaster relief. We've been to Katrina, Rita, Michael, a bunch of them. Francis and Jean, we helped here locally. We'd meet several times a week and go out and, you know, repair things and cut trees and things. So anyway, they came and did a training on safety, and they cleared as a demonstration for them to, and for some of them to train, about an acre for us. Yeah, which primarily pulled out Brazilian peppers and it was all invasive stuff pretty much, but they did have to drop a couple of trees to have them pin each other down with pressure, because there's people don't think about the dangers of limbs that are coiled underneath the weight of the tree, and they cut them, and people have been killed with the pressure of those limbs. Once they free, it springs forward and strikes people and things like that. So just some excellent, I learned a lot, you know, about, even though we've been doing this for 30 years, since 92. And, I didn't even ever think about, when you carry a chainsaw, the blade and the chain should be behind you as you're carrying it, because if you trip and fall, even though it's not turned on, you'll fall on that chain and it can cut you.
Sure.
And that's just one thing I've added to my repertoire.
Wow. That's great.
But that was a blessing. And then we're going to have the 4th of July, we're going to put our big tent up out there and cook hamburgers and hot dogs for anybody that wants to come.
Give the address, Pastor.
It's 6050 Canner Highway. Everybody passes it coming in and out. They tell us 39,000 vehicles pass it every day.
It's a lot.
And we've got our disaster relief trailer there. And then one of our men, he's not even a member. His dad was a deacon. He actually lives down south in Jupiter, but he's been commuting up, and he fixed a beautiful, he's fixing our entrance, and he put three crosses there. I don't know if you've seen them yet or not.
I haven't seen it yet.
You should drive by there and look at it. Wow. I mean, it's really excellently done.
Excellent.
And so, you know, the edifice of our property, the 40 acres, if you drive by, it doesn't say anything about First Baptist or any church, per se. Well, the trailer's got our name on it, but the end of the trailer's backed up to the highway, and it says, Jesus saves.
Amen.
Ask him now. He's listening.
Amen.
And that's painted. So everywhere we went with all of these trips, we were dragging that all over.
Promoting that.
Yeah. I-10, I-20, I-75, I-95. Mm. You know, and people are following this. Get
that's
saved.
Awesome.
And then we got the three crosses now. And then if you go on down, we had our pumpkin sign. And one of our girls is really gifted artistically. And she painted on there, you must be born again, as a common, as a contemporary quotation,
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Ah,
you know, and
excellent.
That's on there. So that's all excellent. You see is Jesus gets saved, you know, going
excellent.
By the property. And we're excited about what God's doing. We're going to be clearing some of the land. We've already had the South Florida Water Management District come in and delineate. We've marked mm-hmm. out. There was a small little wetland there on the front property, and that's carefully marked out, you know. That's the size of an Olympic swimming pool. And most of the land in the front quadrant of it is very buildable.
Excellent.
It used to be pastures.
Mm-hmm.
And the family that used to own it, he was a member of First Baptist and always wanted the church to be there. And then he died in the Methodist church
bought
in 2002. Wow. And they owned it until May of last year, and we bought it from them. And so, I mean, even though he's been in heaven for years, his prayers and his desires are
coming
to fruition.
And you had vision to be, when you came to town, didn't you have some vision of the church being located out in that area?
When I came in 1992, I came to look at the church, and at that time, 95 was not completed through here.
Everybody right, it was just down south.
Jump over to the turnpike and then jump back over because
sure.
of the environmental
issues.
Issues here, concerns here, and they kept 95 out for that long. And I didn't even know there was a Martin County, neither did anybody else, because you jumped
you passed
on,
it.
Yeah, you zipped by it, and
right.
you almost couldn't get off here. And so when I came to town to look at the church, I came up with my family once I was contacted by First Baptist, and I was down in Hollywood for 7.5 years. I took a dead church, 12 people there, 10 senior adults, and the alcoholic sound man and his wife. That was my first church. And in fact, Bill Billingsley, the pastor of one of the great Southern Baptist churches in Hollywood, said, Daryl, that's the rind of a church. That's not really a church. And he talked me into going there. It was
wow.
a mission of their church. So we were there 7.5 years. It became one of the leading baptizing churches for us and for Southern Baptist in Broward County. We started 7 mission churches and a Christian
awesome.
School. And Lord just really blessed.
Mm.
And, you know, our last years there, we baptized over 100 people every year. So came up here and got off to a real great start. First year, we baptized 157. The second year, 135. So then we were one of the leading churches in the state for Southern Baptist in baptisms my first 2 years. But then I kind of ground into church politics and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I really don't play politics. I'm not a politician. I don't even know how.
Why are you called political?
I know.
Well,
you're accused of being a very political pastor.
Well,
why is that?
Well, it's not because I'm a politician, is because I speak about it.
Okay.
And we're to give the full counsel of God.
We are. Truth is needed in politics.
What's funny, on the liberal side, now it's not liberal. Now liberals are probably almost our allies against these Marxists and socialists.
Isn't that something?
They're blotting the liberals out, too. And so when you have Bill Maher half the time saying stuff that we would say, I mean, that's where we've come to. Most of the country's still asleep, I think, at least half of it doesn't know we're fighting for our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody that thinks this whole woke agenda and all this other, this confusion, this insanity.
Yeah.
I was having physical therapy, and the guy that runs the place is a is a Republican kind of guy, the doctor there, and he only buys my pillow products for the therapy.
You're one of those guys.
For the therapy rooms from Mike Lindell, and you know, and he's a real fan, you know. Yeah. And so he, Pastor, did you hear Ron DeSantis' sermon last night? And I said, no, I didn't, Doc. I'm sorry. Well, there's a Democrat woman laying on another table there they were working on, and she said, I can't stand that man. He's crazy. And I said, yeah, he's stark raving mad. He believes there's only two sexes. And quiet in there, and everybody started laughing. You know. And then I felt bad about it. I kind of cozied up to her some, because I did hit her pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, with a simple truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's only men and women.
Yeah.
Dear truth. God.
Yeah, there
help
are,
us.
Yes, God help us.
God help us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the insane place we're at now, and it's rebellion against God. You can't tell me what I am. You can't tell me what you made me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We desperately need an awakening. Yes. We need a revival.
Mm-hmm.
We are living not in just Sodom and Gomorrah. We've passed Sodom and Gomorrah.
We have.
And
we
one
have.
Of our great evangelists, Vance Havner, said that if there's not a repentance in America and a turning, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So that's where we're at. And you know, to say those things nowadays, it's like, oh, you're radical. Radical, 50 years ago, there wasn't a black, white, Spanish pastor in the United States of America that wouldn't have said all of that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Democrat in Washington that wouldn't have said it. Kennedy would have said what I just said.
Right.
John F. Kennedy. Tip O'Neill would have said it. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All of them. But now they would get blotted out too. I was watching Joy Behar came out on Clarence Thomas. I saw this on the news this morning, you know, and she was saying Clarence Thomas and Senator Scott, they don't understand systemic racism because they're black Republicans. And I said, I wish I was sitting on that panel. I'd say, Joy, yeah. And Martin Luther King didn't understand racism because he was a Republican.
Yeah.
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 You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's not scientific. It's not historical. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's stupidity. And, you know, yeah, call me whatever you want. I don't care anymore. I really don't. I'm gonna speak the truth.
Amen.
And I hope and pray everybody does. And more are.
Amen.
But Pastor, we've got to. We're boiling in the water.
We're going to come back to you in just a moment.
Sure.
But Memorial Day's coming, and we have a guest that's going to jump in for a couple minutes here, and we're going to talk about what's going to happen in Stuart for Memorial Day. When we come back, Pastor, I want to talk a little bit about the Jesus Revolution movie, because I sat with you after you saw that, and I'm still stirred in my spirit by what you said and what you saw and what you sense that we should be praying toward. And I'm going to try again to pull this song up, and then we're going to go to our guest and talk just a moment about Memorial Day. Then we'll be right back with you.
I will heal their land. attend to the prayers that are spoken from the hearts of humble men. I have chosen and blessed you that my name may be yours. I've set my heart upon you, and my love will always endure. If my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. Let's seek him while he's listening, and bow before his throne in brokenness and humble confession. Let's worship Jesus alone. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, if they see my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, I will heal their land.
And we know that we're in big trouble unless God gives us revival. I want to welcome Bob Schertz, who is with us from the Road to Victory Military Museum right here in Martin County, Florida. And we are going to have some events whereby we're going to thank God for the freedom we have and thank God for those families and those individuals who serve us now and those who have given their life. Bob, welcome to WCNO. Great to have you back on air with us today.
It's great to be with you. A lot of exciting things going on, and always a very important day in our lives when Memorial Day comes around, a chance to honor those who have given their lives for this country.
Bob, tell us what's going to be happening here in Martin County, and then maybe you can give us a little bit of a snippet in reference to Memorial Day. I know this is something that is really important to us as a nation to remember that freedom is not free.
Oh, okay. That being said, I'm with the Road to Victory Military Museum. I'm vice president of the museum, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit. And I wanted to invite all the veterans on Memorial Day to come and take a ride. We'll give you a ride. You can be in the parade if you wish. You got to be there around 9 o'clock so we can line everybody up. We'll have refreshments and some bagels and that kind of thing. And then the parade itself will be at 10 o'clock and should be over around 11 o'clock, and the whole thing should be done around 12:30. And our museum will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're located at 319 Southeast Stittman Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, zip code 34994. And if you wish to telephone us, it's 772-210-4283. Our email is rtvmm319@gmail.com.
Bob, I just had someone ask me, what is in the museum? What do you have there?
We have items going all the way back to the Civil War, to Iraq, Afghanistan, most of the conflicts this nation has been in, World War One. World War II, Korea. My father was in World War One and World War II in Korea. Myself, I was in during the Vietnam era. And my son-in-law happened to be in during Iraq, Afghanistan. So we have items going through all those periods. I also, the museum has several vehicles, and I have myself a couple anti-tank guns that are on display there, as well as a very rare Burma Jeep. and a 1943 Ford GPW. And we also teach children and young people World War II history, take them out on events and things like that. And some of them are amazing. These young men know as much history and know as much about the museum as I do, and I'm there from day one. So it's an incredible place, a lot of stuff into a small area, and we're located off Ocean Boulevard. If you know where Stuart Middle School is, we're kind of between the ball courts and the tennis courts, and we got the Stuart Water Plant on the other side. We're behind Memorial Park.
All right, Bob, and Pastor Daryl Orman from First Baptist is with us, and he wants to jump in here for a second.
Bob, good to talk to you. I had the opportunity to bring some things and donate them there from the Vietnam era, World War II, some WAC and WAVE uniforms from the women that were, you know, in the military, a couple of some British uniforms and things like that, and a howitzer that was left over from our Christmas play. I'm teasing. We didn't have a howitzer.
You didn't have a howitzer.
We did drop off, you know, uniforms, hats, boots, things like that.
Once you said the howitzer, you really had my attention.
Yeah. We did drop off your attention, but I've been through there. I've taken my grandkids through it, and it's awesome. Love it.
So you highly recommend it, Pastor?
Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Okay, excellent. Bob, give us a little thumbnail on Memorial Day. We don't have a lot of time, but let us know how this started and you know what's on your heart.
Absolutely. Memorial Day is always observed on the last Monday of May each year. And this year it occurs this coming Monday, the 29th. You probably know that Memorial Day honors those who have lost their lives in serving the U.S. military, but here's a few things on the background and history of where it started and how it came to become the big holiday it is today. One of the first Memorial Day celebrations in the United States was by newly freed enslaved men, women, and children on May 1st, 1865 in Charleston, South Carolina. Not long after the Civil War ended, the freed enslaved peoples and members of U.S. colored troops and some local organized the ceremony to bury Union troops who had died due to horrendous conditions in a prison created that was once a racetrack. And that's how they did it. And it was actually the first observance of those who gave their lives for this country. The observance was originally known as Decoration Day. By the late 1860s, many Americans began hosting their own tributes to the war's fallen soldiers by decorating their graves with flowers and flags. And the name changed from Decoration to Memorial Day. It seems it came to be as a Memorial Day over the years. And it was a Union general, John Logan, who called for an official nationwide day of remembrance. And back then, in the 1800s, it was known as Remembrance Day. And he asked that it be May 30th, and date chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. And it was meant to honor those people who were lost in the Civil War. And the Southern states originally observed a different day to honor their Confederate soldiers who died. In the aftermath of World War I, the holiday evolved to commemorate fallen military personnel in all wars. And currently, nine states still set aside an official day to honor those who lost their lives fighting for the Confederacy. 1950, Congress passed a resolution requesting that the president issue a proclamation calling for Americans to observe Memorial Day as a day of prayer for a permanent peace. In 68, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May. In 1966, Waterloo, New York, was officially declared the originator of Memorial Day, and many other places claim that it was, but originally, Waterloo, New York, they celebrated Memorial Day. There's only one small town officially identified as the birthplace. In 1966, Lyndon Johnson signed legislation stating that Waterloo, New York, is the originator of Memorial Day. Decoration Day, which was prior to Memorial Day, recognized fallen soldiers of the Civil War until World War One. While Americans participated in World War One, it took a backseat to Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War Two, and the Vietnam War. It helped to establish many other American traditions, including Veterans Day, which is a day set aside to honoring all who are living and served this country in any capacity as a veteran. In all, more than 116,000 Americans died fighting World War One, and the tradition of Decoration Day evolved from remembering just the fallen of the Civil War to remembering all soldiers who died during the country's wars at home and abroad. Memorial Day is one of the few days flags are ordered to fly at half staff, then full staff. Memorial Day was generally a community tradition. It also generated traditions for how the government observes the day as well. As mentioned, the flag should be flown at half staff from sunrise until noon, and to honor the men and women who have fallen in the line of duty, at noon, the flag should be briskly raised to fly full staff to salute all those who have served this country in one capacity or another. One sacred tradition of Memorial Day is that the sitting president places a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington Cemetery. And that's some of the things about Memorial Day.
Excellent.
If you'd like to know a little bit about PAPS, which is associated with Memorial Day, I can expound on that if you like.
We have about a minute left, Bob, so I definitely want to give the information again about the events that's coming up. So let's do that. And go ahead, give us a little synopsis on TAPS, because we're going to be playing that as a station.
It's an amazing piece. TAPS was known as Lights Out or Day is Done, and it only is 24 notes long, but 24 moving notes. And Dan Butterfield, who was working on bugle calls during the Civil War, everybody in the North and South had the same bugle calls. So if the general wanted him to advance, he'd play a call for advance. Well, everybody heard the same bugle call. So if the other guy wanted to retreat, he'd play his. But nobody knew who was ordering who. So Butterfield came up with a way to identify his troops that this is what I want you to do. So he was very much into bugle calls, and he, with his brigade bugler, came up with taps after the 7 days battle near Harrisburg, Virginia. It spread to other units, and eventually the Confederates adapted it as well as it was written, and to this day it honors fallen comrades and the passing of veterans at their grave sites. So that's pretty much
awesome.
Where wow. TAPS came from.
Awesome. Bob, again, we thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do here in our county, in Martin County, to promote the remembrance. And once again, tell us how people can find the Road to Victory Museum, and also the time of the events is going to take place right here in Martin County.
Okay, well, we're located at 319 Southeast Stipman Boulevard in Stuart. And we're behind Memorial Park, and that's off Ocean Boulevard. We're between the Stuart Middle School and Sailfish Park. They got the baseball fields and tennis courts. You find those, you'll find us. And the water plant is next to us. They're doing a lot of construction, upgrading the capacity, so it's a little messy there with them doing their work. But for the veterans, we can give you a ride in if you want to be part of the Memorial Day Parade. If you show up around 9 a.m. On Monday, we'll have some refreshments and bagels and things of that nature. At 10 o'clock, the parade will start. At 11, the ceremony, and everything should be concluded by about 12:30. And the museum will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you want to stop by, if you haven't had a chance to see the museum, we have a lot of exciting and unique items for you to see and learn about the history and sacrifice of those who have given the last full measure.
Bob, thank you. Thank you for joining us. God bless you, and God bless our veterans and our families, those who have lost and those who yet serve today. And we're praying for a great day. Rain or shine, right? Rain or shine, the parade will move on?
Yes, it will. It's very rare that they cancel the parade.
Yep, so. You're right. And so this is a family event. It's great for the grandparents and great-grandparents and the little kids and babies and everybody to be a part of this. So we look to encourage everyone in our listening audience. I know we have many counties that are listening to us today, but in your county, get online, find out what's going on, be a part of remembering the great gift that's been given to us of freedom in our nation, and remembering the loss of life and those who have given their life that we might have this freedom. Bob, God's best to you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right, Pastor Darrell, we're back. And we are probably going to step a little bit on, maybe the next program's toes a bit, because we do want to mention about our tower. Because, Pastor, that's coming up. We have equipment that's ordered for the radio tower, speaking of WCNO. And so tell us what you brought in today, and then I have something to tell you.
Okay. Well, as you know, my wife and I, Kim, made a pledge to want to give 1%,
build the tower.
1% of the tower. And so I brought a check today for $1,000.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Send it right down here. I know what to do with that. And Pastor,
cash it while it's still got money in it.
I know you're in a building program. I know how that works. People don't know the senior pastor gives and gives and gives and gives. And I had one pastor tell me that in his building program, he had 3 services, and so he was literally giving 6 checks. You know, he had to balance them out because, you know, every service, he said, I wanted everybody to know that I'm fully engaged in the work of God here.
Good for that man.
He was giving his tithe. He was giving his building fund offering.
He had integrity, and he was
audited because of it. They said no one would give that many checks, and he had to go back and anyhow, Pastor, thank you for this is a tremendous donation. And give a charge to other people, and then I want to tell you about a phone call I had.
Okay.
You're challenging.
Let me back up again.
Oh, okay.
So, I would like to challenge others to still give. How much do you need to raise for the tower?
I'm looking at right now. Now, this includes what I'm going to talk about this morning, but we're right now at $35,000. We're looking at $77,000 just for the equipment.
Okay.
And then we have the labor that's going to go in, so that's why we had $100,000.
Yeah, so you're not even half on the equipment yet.
No.
So I'd like to encourage, I know there's someone listening that could provide your tower, and whoever you are, if God's knocking at your door, give it before, you know, the Great Depression hits us, or before everything switched to crypto or whatever's going to happen, and you lose it anyway, and you look back and say, I should have put it in the kingdom, you know, so that it lasts forever.
Yeah,
there you go. And where neither moth nor rust corrupt. And
amen.
So whoever you are, send it and help them get this done quick.
Amen.
And, you know, I'll be glad to be a little bitty part of that as a poor little pastor.
Let me tell you, Pastor, what happened the other day. I had a phone call from Diane, and I'm not going to say anything more. We'll just get first name from Diane that's down in Palm Beach County. And Diane said, is there anyone that's giving a challenge, a matching funds challenge, that's saying, you know, I want somebody to match my gift? And so I caught her message first. She had called before we were in the office. So I caught her message. I called her back. And I told her, I said, Diane, Pastor Darrell Orman from First Baptist of Stewart is going to be coming in on the 24th to make a donation of $1,000 and to challenge people to come alongside of him and be a one percenter.
That's right.
And she said, I want to be one of those who match that challenge. Mm. And so in my hand, I've held it now for about a week. She sent in the check for $1,000. So this is someone, and she said, she said, I am blessed to be a partner with Pastor Daryl Orman, you know, and First Baptist of Stewart.
That's sweet.
So this is another 1,000. And then our friend Todd the plumber came by. And Todd, if you're listening today, your $100 is going in to the tower as well.
Praise
God. And then I have a donation coming in this morning from another pastor of $200 going in toward the tower today.
God bless that.
And so we have a number of people that are showing up, and you know, we're expecting equipment to start arriving in June, and by July we're expecting to have the equipment together. And so what is basically happening after 33 years, all of our equipment at our tower that actually sends out the message, you know, our signal, it's old, it's worn out, and it is failing. And so I don't know what we're operating at now, but we've been running 80%. Around 75, well, we're below 80 now.
We're below 80, so
I'd like falling. To challenge all the plumbers that are listening to
there you go.
Join Todd, right?
Y'all are now making brain surgery prices sometimes, and you deserve it, you know, for what you do. In fact, I've been working on the septic tank over at our property on that house, and roots had grown up in the main drain.
Yeah.
And I actually put on real tall boots
to do it.
And we had pumped out the tank, and I got a pair of vice grips and clamped them on the roots and tied it on a rope. One of our men put it on
pulled this, them out.
And it pulled them out. I mean, it slipped off 3 or 4 times. And then when I saw those roots came out, I almost got saved again.
Were you shouting?
I mean, I've never been so proud to see sewage roots in my life.
Really?
It was like 6 feet long. And it was like, you know,
wow.
I won't go into any other details.
Don't go into details.
It's lunchtime, but.
You were flushed with success.
Flushed with success. And yeah. And so God bless the plumbers. You guys send them some money.
Karen, give the number out. Somebody may want to call today. We can take your call today. You can obviously go ahead and make that donation. We sent out a lot of mail back a couple months ago, and you may have paperwork, but if you don't, just give us a call. And a donation of any amount toward the tower is going to be a great blessing. We do need to go ahead and raise this $60,000 to finish this off. And like I say, the equipment's coming, and once it arrives, we put 25% down. And so we've covered that, and we're looking to finish raising the money. The next level is let's pay for the equipment. That's $77,000. Let's get up to that.
Amen.
And so if you can give $50, $500, $5,000, we have many people that have stepped out. And Pastor, you know, one church has given $12,500.
Praise
of this
God.
Number,
praise
one
God.
Church, and they said, we recognize that WCNO is a home missions ministry.
Yeah,
that's reaching people because they're coming into our church,
that's
and
good.
We can see that. So, pastors, if you're listening today, we do need your help, and prayerfully consider making WCNO a part of your missional work. And please let us know what you're doing so we can promote it on our community calendar. Karen, give the numbers.
That's right. That number is 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100.
Pastor, let's talk about the need of America for revival, and what do you see? I know you shared with me a bit, you and your wife, you watched some film, and I haven't seen that, nor have I seen The Jesus Revolution. But as you shared that morning, and we've been friends for a long time, we serve in the same battle here, but my heart was really touched by your heart for revival.
Well, The Jesus Revolution, the backdrop is the Jesus freaks, as we referred to them, the hippies that got saved in the early 70s as a movement, and it turns out, looking back on it now, that many are classifying it as the Fourth Awakening in the United States. Asbury College, the Methodist college in Kentucky, I've got videos I've used at church for the 1970 revival they had, where their chapel service went for 148 hours straight, and it impacted... There was a ripple effect from it that impacted that entire part of the United States. And It was happening the exact same time as the Jesus Revolution. And that the title of the movie comes from the Time magazine cover story. And that just talks about how these kids were, you know, getting high on drugs and, you know, trying to escape the realities and overthrow whatever and revolting and this and that. But they were searching, and it kind of keys in on Lonnie Frisbee, a main character in the movie. And he was actually one of the main impetus of the movement at that time. He would go hiking on the highway on Laguna just to witness to people. He had the bell bottoms on back then. He was barefooted, and he had on a vest he painted himself that said Jesus Saves or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he would get in a car, hitchhike, and they'd say, "Where are you going?" He said, "Wherever you're going." And then he just witnessed to them till they got tired of him, and then they'd set him out and he'd catch a car going the other way. And he'd just go back and forth witnessing on the highway. Wow. So anyway, the story centers around Chuck Smith, the great pastor from California, who was pastoring one of his first churches, a little small church, you know, was running, I don't know, it looked like in the movie depicted as 50 people or whatever. And it was like dying. His daughter was the only youth in the church, and they were about to terminate him as pastor. And so his daughter says, "Dad, you got to do something. You know, you got to." And this is historically, it's based on true story. And, you know, "Why don't you reach the hippies?" He said, "I don't know anything about hippies. I don't, you know, I've never met a hippie, you know." And he said, "Maybe if I met one, you know." So anyway, his daughter's going like to the beach, Laguna Beach or whatever, and driving the highway, and there's Lonnie Frisbee hitchhiking. So she didn't know, you know, right. Just a hippie. And so she pulls over, and they did it real well the way they depicted it. He comes up to the car, and she looks at him, and he says, "I need a ride, you know." And okay, and she gets in, and as soon as he gets in the car, he looks at her and he says, "Do you know God?" And she says, "Yes, and I know someone you need to meet, my dad." So she talked to him about Jesus that night and brought him home the next day. And so Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel pastor, you know, wakes up, comes downstairs, little, you know, typical house, you know, middle class house. And here's a hippie with a cup of coffee sitting on his sofa. He takes her in the kitchen. What's he doing in here? "Dad, you said you wanted to meet a hippie. I brought one."
"Brought one home."
"And you got to talk to him, you know."
Oh, wow.
So he comes in there and says, "Hey, Chuck, you got any cream for this coffee?" And he says, "Come with me." And he escorts him to the kitchen door, pushes him outside, closes the door, and said, "What do you think you're doing bringing it?" He could have been a serial killer. And she said, "Dad, you say everybody's a serial killer."
Mm.
And so then she said, "You got to listen to him. You've got to listen to him." So long story short, kind of cut to the chase, brings him in, and he talks about the search through drugs and everything else was really a search for God. And it's touching in the film because he says, "Pastor Chuck, nobody wants us, the hippies. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants us." And so it's kind of how Chuck reacts to that. And he says, "Well, you can come to our place." So then on one side's everybody back then, coats and ties, women sure. in dresses,
sure.
like everybody did for church yeah. then. And then on the other side's like barefooted hippies and bell bottoms and, you know, little vests and bangles and all that sitting
sure.
over there. And every time they say something about Jesus, all the hippies hold their Bibles up. "Praise God!" You know? And all the straight, you know, church members are like, "What the heck?" You
know? Right.
So that happened, and it just turned into a movement where literally hundreds of thousands, millions of young people
came to Jesus.
Got saved. And there at Pirates Cove in Laguna, they baptized tens of thousands.
Mm.
Sometimes would baptize thousands at a time.
Mm.
And that's where the whole Chuck Smith Calvary Chapel movement came from. And Greg Laurie, the evangelist, was one of those hippies that got saved. And so it's kind of a sad story about him and his wife.
Yeah.
And but watching it,